It's Monday, July 28, 2025, and we're here at the Norway Museum and Historical Society building to conduct an interview with Amelia Fogg and Linda Ellingwood. And whichever one of you ladies would like to go first, can you tell me your full name, and if you don't mind, when and where you were born?
Okay, I'm Linda Bedad Ellingwood, and I was born November 3rd, 1946, in the little Norway hospital on Daring Street. You want any more detail?
Nope, that's fine.
Because I can tell you a cool story about
it. Okay, you please. You got a cool story. Let's introduce Amelia first, and then we'll go back to that.
Okay, I'm Amelia Bedad Fogg, and I was born April 15th, 1943, and I'm pretty sure I was born in that hospital, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. All right, Linda, tell us your cool story.
Well, she wasn't born in that hospital.
Oh, all right.
Were you?
I think so.
I think that Mom was on 38 Main Street, and she went down to the midwife down across from where the barber shop used to be in South Paris, I think, to have you. I don't know.
Okay.
But maybe that was me. Okay, boy, my cool story is the night that I was born, my sister Amelia was about, two and a half or three, and my father was keeping track of her while my mom was having me. And during that time, the fire chief in South Paris, his name was Solomon Gay, and his house was burning down. And I remember hearing that story, that I was born the night that Solly Gay's house burned down.
We could probably look that up in the newspaper. Yes.
Okay.
What a thing to remember.
Yeah, well, I heard the story.
Okay. So one of you ladies, tell me, you know, who your parents were and how many siblings. I know there were a few.
Our parents were Lona Noble Bedard and Emil Joseph Bedard. He went by the name of Bill Bedard.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And there were three daughters.
Okay, three daughters. No sons?
No sons.
Okay. All right. And when I ask these questions, you both can answer. One of you can answer. You may each have different things to say, and that's fine. Okay, where did you grow up?
We moved up to Crockett Ridge from 38 Main Street in South Paris the day that I was 6 months old. And I grew up on Crockett Ridge all that time.
Yeah, and I did too.
Okay, yep. And is the house still there where you grew up?
Yes, it is.
Yes, okay. Yes, but not all of it.
Okay, what did they tear down? The bar, the L?
Our father took one and a half stories.
Yep.
Okay. To make it into a ranch-style house because it was a big
Victorian house.
Yeah, Victorian
okay.
House.
Yes, okay. So do one of you live there now?
No. Okay. My son does, though.
Your son lives there. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right. And so where do you live now, each of you?
I live far from that house.
Okay.
My parents gave us some land. Mm-hmm. My husband and I, some land, and we built a house.
Okay. So you're still in the Crockett Ridge, Haywood Club neighborhood.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm over at the Lake neighborhood.
Okay. All right.
Where Route 117 and 118 come together.
Oh, okay. Yep. So you live in Norway Lake Village.
That's where I live.
Yeah,
yes,
okay.
I do.
Yes.
Uh-huh. It had its own history.
But she did live in the house between... They owned the house between my house and my parents.
Right, okay.
Yeah, we lived there
a
long time.
All right, so you all owned the entire neighborhood at one time.
At one time, the Hall Ridge was Noble land.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's called Noble's Hill.
Noble's Hill, yes. Yep. Which, that prompts me to jump ahead to a question that someone asked me. Would you please ask them? Tubbs Hill and Tubbs Ledges.
Yes.
I assume Tubbs Hill is the other big hill?
No.
I mean, I know Noble Hill.
Tubbs Tubbs Hill was also called Noble's Hill.
Oh, I believe.
Tubbs Ledge is at the top of what we call Noble's Hill.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Which was our playground when we were kids. Okay. We played on Tubbs Ledge.
Okay, so is that really ledge like rocks?
Yes, it is.
And is it on the town side of Crockett Ridge Road or the lake side?
The town side.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. And you can go up there and sit there and enjoy yourself and listen to traffic.
Well, you used to be able to.
Yeah.
I don't know who owns it.
I know that the houses on that side of Crockett Ridge Road, they all have long driveways and go up there and you can't even see the houses.
Right.
And I thought, that's prime land up there. I'm sure it is. Okay. All right.
Yeah, but that's, we played there growing up as kids.
Somebody specifically asked me to ask you. Where were Tubbs Ledges, or where are they?
Okay. Right there, on top of Noble's Hill.
Thank you.
I guess Tubbs owned the top of the hill, too, or some of the land. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, was that the Walter Tubbs family who who your great-grandfather taught him to make snowshoes?
Yeah.
And he eventually opened the factory in town. Is that the same Tubbs family?
Probably.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Not sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when you were growing up there, did you always have electricity or a telephone?
Yep. No, okay. No TV.
No TV. When did you get television? Did you get television while you were still children?
I think I was around 10 or 12.
Okay. Yeah. And I bet that was a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I used to watch American Bandstand when I got off the school bus.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. So where did you go to school before you went to high school?
I went to the Tucker Street School. Then I went to the Yellow Building.
Yes, okay, the elementary school.
And
the
junior high. Then,
okay, so you lived up there, but you went to Tucker Street.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, on the bus.
Yes. Okay. You didn't go to the Lake School.
Nope.
No, I'm not arguing with you. I'm just surprised.
No.
And I went to the Lower Primary.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
And again, you took the bus from home to come to town to go to to go to primary school.
Yeah. And then later on up to the Yellow, like
yes,
you talked
right.
about.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Like we all did.
Yeah.
Those of us of a certain age. So eventually went to the Yellow School. Okay. So you both went to Norway High School?
Yeah.
Okay.
I went to Norway High School for 2 years and then we became Oxford Hills.
Yeah. Ah.
But
okay.
We didn't have a building.
Right. Yes.
So we commuted the last 2 years from Norway to South Paris for some classes.
Because
there was no building.
Mm-hmm. Right. So. While they were building.
Yeah, they were.
Yes. While they were building that. Was
and
that,
my class was the last class to graduate.
Okay,
from
so
Norway
you were the
class.
You would have been the class of
61.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Last class from Norway High. Okay.
Yeah.
It must have been strange to go to high school. I mean, you spent 2 years here in Norway with, and then to have to go over there to go to some classes, was that weird?
Yep, and I remember being in chemistry class over there the day that Kennedy was shot. And the chemistry teacher, Mr. Brown, put it on the loudspeaker.
Uh-huh. He announced it to the school.
Yeah, we could hear the conversation.
Yes. Oh, wow.
I remember right where I was sitting in chemistry class.
Yeah. We all
I think I was
remember where we were And so by that time, November 1963, you were out of school.
Right.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you like school? Whether it's elementary or high school, did you like it? Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
Did you, Linda?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we
did. All right. Did you participate in school activities?
Yes.
What'd you do?
I was a cheerleader in high school.
I was in music mostly.
Uh-huh.
What plays.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Theater.
Yes.
Yeah,
okay.
I did
and
that
you did,
too.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Did you go to school after high school? At any time? Did you continue any sort of education? What'd you do?
I went to 4 years at University of Maine.
Okay. For nursing. In Orono?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. The nursing school.
Yep.
I got married about a week after I graduated from high school. I was only 18.
Okay.
And so the only training I pretty much got afterwards was when I started working in banking.
Okay.
And then I had training for that.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Where did you work in banking?
Well, I started in Virginia. My husband was in the Marine Corps for 20 years.
Okay.
So I started at United Virginia Bank down in Chesapeake, Virginia.
Yes, okay. Yeah. All right. I was a customer of United. I'm not supposed to talk about me during this, but I can cut it out. I was a customer of United Virginia Bank. I lived in Virginia for 30 plus years.
Oh, wow.
So in Northern Virginia, outside D.C. But yes, I know my United Virginia Bank. It's long gone, but I know it. Yes, okay.
And when my husband retired, I started out working at the Maine Savings Bank.
Okay.
And I worked for them until they had to go under, and then Andrew Scoggin took them.
Okay.
And I ended up retiring from Andrew Scoggin.
And so where did you live by the time when you were working for Maine Savings?
Right up on Crockett's Ridge.
Oh, okay. Well, where was the Maine Savings Bank around here?
It was right where the Andrew Scoggin Bank was.
Ah, okay. Yes, yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. I gotcha. All right. Okay. Okay. And so did you practice nursing?
Oh, yeah.
Where?
Well, I graduated in 1969. I went to my first year to Rumford Hospital on the medical floor. And then I came down to Stevens Memorial, and I worked 17 years in the intensive care unit.
Okay,
And I did 8 years as supervisor.
Uh-huh.
And then I went up to, when I went over to Market Square Healthcare for about 4 years.
Okay.
And then I went to the Maine Veterans Home for 18
really?
Years.
Really? Okay. Wonderful, wonderful place.
I only
place.
Retired a little while
yes,
ago.
Yes, yes. Wonderful. Both my parents were at the Veterans Home. Absolutely first class.
I thought it was.
Absolutely.
Now I'm going to tell you another little story about that. Talking about our music heritage, our mom and dad had a group, and they would play at the Veterans Home and the other nursing homes.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother always said, she said, the residents at the Veterans Home are happier.
I expect Rona knew what she was talking about.
She did. Yeah. I mean, she didn't know why, but she knew.
She could tell.
They could tell.
I believe
from
it.
The residents.
Yes, I believe it.
When they would bring the music.
Mm-hmm. Again, I'm not. Yes, I'm not going to talk about me. I'm not supposed to.
Yes, I would have an answer to that.
Yeah, and please.
Being a military wife.
Yes.
It's because they got to sit around and talk about their military lives.
Yes,
mm-hmm. So that's why.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes, I'm part of the local ukulele group.
Oh, you are.
And we play, and again, this is going to be cut from this tape.
But
we play. We have a gig once a year at the Veterans Home. It is our absolutely favorite gig.
So I saw you up at West Paris.
Oh, were you there?
You were.
Yes.
I was in the front row.
I beg your pardon. I'm sorry. I was too
nervous.
But
you were over.
I was over on the far. It would have been the far left. Left for you.
And Lynette was way
over
here.
Yes, on the other side. Yes.
And then there was a whole bunch of other people.
Yes. Yes.
That was so fun.
Yes.
You guys are having the best time
We're not.
They all play ukulele.
Yes. some of us are excellent singers, and some of us are excellent ukulele players. I am neither. I am average at best, but we have a good time.
Wow.
We have a good
time. Now that you say that, I said, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's where I saw her sitting right there.
Yes. We will cut this part from the interview.
Yeah, we can cut this.
And that's fine.
But thanks for sharing
that. Oh, certainly.
Because when I looked at you, I said,
the Veterans Home, we play once a year over there.
Yeah.
And it's our favorite gig. Everybody wants to, all of us want to do that.
We do.
Just because it's special.
It is special.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I enjoyed my working there for many, you know, for all
first
those years.
Class place. First class place.
Yeah.
How did you spend your summers as a kid? What is it to do up on Crockett Ridge when you're a kid?
Sneaking our mother's cigarettes and going across the road and smoking them. And it's a good thing we didn't start a fire.
Yeah.
We could have had a start
a
fire. You did that, Linda. With Barbara Conan.
What brand cigarettes? You remember?
Probably Pall Malls.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Right.
Well, we played on the ridge. There were no houses up there except for our house and the farm, Melly Dunham's farm, Aunt Cherry's farm, Uncle Fred's farm.
Okay. Fred Noble.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
But there were no other houses, so we had the run of the ridge.
Okay. And so at that time. When you had the run of the ridge, was it mostly fields?
Yep.
Mostly
yeah.
woods?
Fields and woods.
Okay, yes. Yeah. Much yeah. And much, but much more open.
Oh, yeah.
Probably is now.
Yeah. Our field that was right next to our house growing up was full of our uncle's cows. They would come through from his farm.
Yeah.
Lucian Frechette's farm.
Yes, okay.
And come through the woods and go and eat the grass
okay,
in our
and, yeah,
field.
Mm-hmm, yeah, and graze yeah. in the yeah. field. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And I used to sit out on the porch and play the guitar for them. And mm-hmm. they loved music. Uh-huh. The cows, they come right to the fence.
Okay, yeah. listen to you.
Yeah.
Did you just play or did you sing too?
Mostly played because my dad just taught me how to do a few things
okay.
with a
yes.
slide.
Okay, so you played the slide guitar.
I did a
yes.
little bit.
Okay, yeah.
All what right. he taught me.
Mm-hmm.
But we weren't good music students. She was better than me.
And we're going to get to what kind of music do you play? We're going to get to that a little later. Yeah. So when you were kids and in the summer, when you were on yep. summer vacation, you weren't expected to help on the farms or anything like that?
No, I had to mow.
Okay.
I used to help Dad with a high wheel bush mower. We had to mow the lawn with that reel mower.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And, it doesn't work.
But my mom was, she didn't want me in the kitchen, not cooking.
Mm-hmm.
I made her nervous. So as a result...
Go away, Linda, go away.
I didn't know anything about cooking, really, when I got married. We ate TV dinners is what we did. Yeah.
But with her, we didn't. We ate a lot of corn.
I'm talking about after.
Yes, 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 and your skills as a cook. Yes.
Mom was a great cook.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But I know I made her nervous, so mm-hmm. she...
Yes,
but,
okay.
You know, we had...
So you did have some chores to do, for lack of a better way of putting it. You expected to mow the lawn.
We were pretty spoiled.
Okay.
Actually.
Got to play.
Our mom was a hard worker.
Uh-huh.
And she wanted things done a certain way.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There was a group of us from the ridge that would go down to the lake. We would walk down around, not down, you know, where you see the lake.
Right,
but
okay.
we would walk down behind and go down to what's called Sandy Shores.
Okay.
And that was a place that was owned by people up in Paris Hill. And they allowed us to go swimming there.
Very nice.
So
yes, very nice. Okay.
Yeah,
so you spent a lot of time in the lake in the summer,
yeah.
I expect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
We go fishing with Dad and with the old boat.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
He
okay.
taught me how to
yes.
fish.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. What is your earliest childhood memory of being here? What's the first thing you remember, or the oldest memory you have when you were a kid?
Well, I was born when my father was in World War II.
Uh-huh, okay.
And when he got out and came home, I was probably about two and a half, 3 years old.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And when he came home, my mother said, "Amelia, your father's home." And he walks in. I look at him and I said, "That's not my father. That's Uncle Fran, who was his brother.
Okay.
Who used to come and visit
yes.
us."
Yes, okay.
So.
Huh. Well, I mean.
I was a brat.
I was.
We were probably brats.
Yeah, okay.
Can you imagine my poor dad?
Exactly.
Being...
Yeah.
Wow.
Dear, the poor guy. I assume that you smartened up and he got over it. I hope.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes, okay. And. Your earliest memory,
earliest
Linda?
Memory,
any idea?
I remember stories.
Yes.
When I was a baby, they moved up there.
Yeah.
When I was 6 months old, they moved up to the ridge. And Mom was working on the house, and they put me under the china closet. There was a china closet with a little chamber and then drawers. And
yes.
she slipped me in there, and she'd go...
A good place for a baby.
Yeah.
A nice, safe place.
I remember that.
Uh-huh.
Then growing up, I don't remember. I remember sleeping on a feather bed in their room.
Yeah.
How about the apple?
The apple.
Apple tree.
Climbing the apple
the
tree.
The rocks.
The rocks?
Yes.
Tell the story of me.
No, she said earliest memories.
Well, that's our early memories. I'll change it.
Well, she tried to hit me with it. She did hit me with a rock.
What happened was we were out there under the apple tree, and I took a rock and threw it up to knock an apple down, but the rock came down and hit her. So then she and her friend picked up this big rock, and they went and smacked me over the head with it.
I'm glad you're both still here.
So far,
and
I'm
I got spanked
okay.
And yes. Barbara had to go home.
Siblings, yeah. You know, this stuff happens.
But that's not my earliest.
Yes, okay. And that's okay.
I remember riding my tricycle in the road. And I was going down toward Aunt Cherry's house and riding right in the middle of the road on my tricycle.
Yeah.
And I turned and looked around, and there's Uncle Lucian with his big farm truck right straight behind me.
Oops.
I remember that.
Okay.
And I remember getting my legs switched all the way home.
Yeah.
Oh. My mom. One very effective tool is a goldenrod.
Uh-huh.
And we learned that, with bare legs, and she would strip the
It kind of stings, doesn't it, Jess?
Yeah. She was good at discipline.
Okay. She knew what she was doing. So your favorite activity when you were a kid?
Oh, wow. Summer or winter?
Either. Yeah, or both.
Well, we used to ride bikes. Bring Timber with us.
Yeah.
Timber was our German Shepherd.
Okay. Yeah.
He protected us.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah,
he was always getting in fights. We didn't know why, but now I realize.
He thought he was protecting you.
Yeah. Yes.
And he was, because he grew up with us.
Yeah, okay.
And with me, anyway. And then in those days, we didn't hitch our dogs. Okay. He was a very smart dog.
Yes,
So we grew up with him.
Your favorite activity during childhood? Anything in particular?
Well, probably bike riding.
Running around.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Yeah.
Hobbies? Any particular hobbies?
I used to like to make things, but Mom didn't teach us how to run the sewing machine.
No. Uh-huh.
Okay.
I love to make up songs on the piano.
Yeah.
But, that was fun.
Uh-huh.
But
We had a piano right in our living room.
Okay.
That we could play.
Okay.
Yeah.
And could everybody play at least to some extent?
Yeah.
We tried.
Neither our parents could read music. I know that's surprising but they play all by ear.
Yeah.
So
which is amazing.
We were growing up, my mother made sure that we took piano lessons so we would learn to read music.
Who was your piano teacher? Do you remember?
Yeah, I remember mine was over behind the Armory.
Okay.
I only took lessons for a year.
Florence Twitchell.
Yes,
okay.
It was.
Yes, okay. Because they lived on Nevers Avenue.
Yep.
She was my piano teacher, too.
Yes.
Yeah, I think I had her, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
But you took for 3 years. Amelia got very good at playing.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And she still plays once in a
good.
While.
Glad to hear it.
When forced into it.
Yes, okay. I'm glad to hear it. So, when you were kids, living up on the ridge, as you say, how often did you come to town, not talking about coming to school? Did the family come to town on Friday nights or Saturdays?
Every Friday night.
Okay.
It was just like a mall.
Yes, okay.
And we'd go down to the A&P store and get our groceries.
Mm-hmm.
We might go see a movie. You drop into Newberry's, Wilson's. You'd go to the shoe place, shoe store. You might need your shoes repaired in the cobbler downstairs. What were the other stores? Margo's and Crane's came in later. And there was also the Jack and Jill.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing was like a mall.
I know them all.
Yeah.
And everybody who, because I grew up in town.
Yeah.
But everybody who lived out of town, they all came to town on Friday night. And it was a jumping place.
Yeah, that's because they got their checks on Fridays, right?
Mm-hmm. So when you did come to town, of course, if you did it every week or just about every week, maybe it wasn't quite so special. But were there any special treats or activities when you were here? Did you get to go have an ice cream at the soda fountain or?
Yeah, the Newberry soda fountain.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Ashton's had a fountain, too.
Our mother worked at the Ashton's.
Did she? Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Did she work at the soda fountain or at the drug counter? Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Pretty much at the fountain.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. That was when I was in junior high school, I think. So okay. I don't know what years. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Because you've already listed some.
We went to the movies.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We had a grandmother that lived down on Brown Street, father's mother, and she would take us to the movies. We would walk up to the movie theater with her. You remember doing that? I do, because I'm older.
You remember any particular movie that you saw?
No. Okay. Yes, I do.
Yes, what did you see at the Rex Theater?
The one that was the most traumatic for me was Jack and the Beanstalk. My mom left us off, and I went in with my sisters, I think, and I was so scared that I crawled down under the seat. And my mom came to get us, and some woman came out of the theater and was talking to my mom, and she says, "I felt so sorry for that little girl.
That little girl.
I crawled under the seat.
Hiding under the seat."
So that was traumatic.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
Well, I was the youngest, and I was always getting into... Mm-hmm. I was, I tried to keep up with the big kids, but one time we were running along, in the ridge, and we went into Uncle Fred's field right beside our house, but between his... Yeah. And we didn't realize that the bull was loose.
Ooh.
And... So we had Bob Conant with us, Bob and Barbara and Amelia and I, as far as we know. And I was trying to keep up, but I couldn't keep up with the kids.
Yeah.
And the bull was chasing us. And Bob picked me up and put me in the apple tree. Thank God I'd have been killed, probably.
Yeah, probably. Seriously hurt.
Yeah, he was very kind.
Okay.
I was just telling at his memorial thing about how he saved my life.
And Barbara and I went up by the road watching all this. We weren't helping.
You were no help at
all. There wasn't much you could do. Bob was bigger.
I'm glad he was thinking quickly. Yeah.
But kids like us, we just played in the woods and the fields. And, we pick flowers and up on near Tubbs Ledge in the spring. Uh-huh.
So you just wandered all over.
We did and explored learned a lot.
Yeah.
And there was a dump down kind of in the woods there that we used to go check stuff out.
Behind the farm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Old bottles and things like that. Yeah.
Yes.
Dumped from an earlier time.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there was an old car down there too, wasn't there?
Yeah, I think so.
there's always an old car in the woods somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other businesses here in downtown Norway that you remember? Any particular businesses? You've mentioned a number of them.
Yeah. Palos was down on the corner of Green Street, and our sister Mary worked there.
Okay.
And she bought our parents a beautiful lamp, and I have it still at my house.
Glad to hear it.
I remember that.
Yep. Okay. Did you ever go out to eat at any place besides the soda fountain at Newberry's or Ashton's?
Barjo's.
You do? Okay. Yeah. Go to Barjo's.
And Goodwin's.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
What was your first job?
Well,
besides babysitting.
Babysitting.
Yes, besides babysitting. We all did that. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just remembering you skipped to something. Because when I was in high school, I used to go to the dances in South Paris.
Oh, yes.
They had a teen time.
The teen time, yes.
Yeah.
With Joe and Mary and Quinn.
Yeah.
Yes.
Used to go to that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But my first job, I believe, was when I worked at Norway Laundry. The first summer, we were picking over camp kids' clothes was the first summer. And then last summer I worked there, I was on the side where they were clean clothes.
Pleasant change.
Yeah,
I expect it was hot in there. Holy cow, I bet it was kind of nasty working. Yeah.
Well, you worked there quite a while.
Your first job?
Well, I did babysit a lot. Then I worked at the Dairy Joy. And I worked there for Lyndon Spinney.
Yeah.
And then I worked down at the Frosty Treat, which is, you know, where that where that was.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I worked for them for a few years too. So those were my
And that basic. Was the Frosty Treat. Was that Elliot Anderson?
Elliot and Pearl. Elliot and Pearl Anderson. And they had a house right up on Pleasant Street, which I don't know who owns it now, but yeah, I worked for them.
Okay. All right. Did you enjoy it? Was it okay jobs? It was a paycheck.
Yeah. Yeah, occasionally. We didn't always get paid at the Dairy Joint.
Oh. Did they forget or
no, he would just say, well, they haven't the franchise
it was a bad week.
Sent the money in or something. I remember waiting for the paycheck. But I didn't. I was only 16. I didn't know.
But still.
But yeah, eventually we got paid.
Okay, good. Okay. All right. Any other jobs around Norway besides your talked about working at the hospital, and of course you were away for when your husband was in the military. But any place else you work around Norway? You know, before you got married and left. Put it that way.
When I was a teenager, one day in the summer we worked for Burnham and Marl, and we went on a bus way up into New Hampshire to pick blueberries that we were picking. And so me and my friend did that, and it was a good day, but we only did it that one day, because that was tough work.
And our sister worked for Shepherd's Camps. Her summers.
Just doing, she a waitress or she, housekeeper?
She was everything. Okay. She said, she was just telling us this last week when we went on the boat. She started just as, like, busing tables, I believe. Then she did housekeeping and waiting on tables. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there were a whole group of kids that worked for Shepherd's.
Yeah, I'm sure that was a big thing.
It was.
Shepherd's Camp was a big business.
Yeah, it was.
And a very popular place.
Yeah. So she did
that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. The Haywood Club, just up the road.
Yes.
And was that a busy place most of the time, or just on weekends?
Well, years ago, it was the place, one of the places where Melly did dances, where they did dances.
And that kind of makes me jump ahead a little bit, is because I want to ask you if you went to dances there or played there. And but how did they have room for a dance or the big suppers that they put on? Or did people spill outside? I mean, the building is not, the space in the building is not that big. And I can't imagine a supper for 150 people that I read about in the paper or having room to dance without hurting yourself for someone else.
Yeah, I know they had the dances.
There. Yes, okay.
That was did you know the whole history of that club?
Yes, pretty much. Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
And they blackballed people. You know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Okay. Mother told us.
I've been asked this about the Weary Club, too. That's it. Yes. Okay. No, I mean, I understand that the Haywood Club was founded as a social club for the women of Crockett Ridge and a year later, the ladies of Milletville, which I can understand because I would think it would be very isolating to live way out there in Milletville. So it makes sense. I wasn't aware that you had to be approved for membership.
Yes, you did. And it was, I believe my mom said it started as a ladies' reading club. Something
probably,
like that.
Probably, because that's who it's named after.
Yeah.
Is a
Haywood.
John Haywood, who was a poet and author in the 1500s.
Well, man, you see, now we've learned something.
Yes.
I didn't know.
Yes. Yeah. It named it after this guy from the 1500s.
Wow.
But,
okay.
Okay. So, did you go to social events at the Haywood Club?
Yeah.
Okay.
One thing I do remember around the Halloween time, what was her name? School teacher. She set us up.
No, huh? Not Florence Young.
No.
Verna Millett.
Verna Millett.
No.
Maybe.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm not going to come up
with
it. But anyway, she would set us all around in a circle, all the kids. And she would kind of tell a story, and we'd have this blanket over us so we couldn't see what we were feeling.
Oh.
And she would send something around and say what it was. Like, it, she said, there's an eyeball of a, and it's probably a grape or yeah. something that yeah. was peeled or something, and it made it feel weird, you know, and things that's like that.
Wonderful.
So, yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. So it was.
We ought to do that at the Historical Society. Yeah. Yeah. That's great. So, since becoming an adult,
yes.
did you move away? I know that you did. When did you return? You know, your husband was in the Air Force for 20 years. Oh, I beg your pardon. I'm very sorry.
Wow.
I will delete that from the tape for sure. I'm very sorry.
Yeah,
I know you are. So, for 20 years, and so... when he retired, is that when you came back to the area, or?
Yeah, what happened was he was in for the first 3 years from 1957 to 60, and he got out of the Marine Corps at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got married in 1961, and he stayed out until the Vietnam War came on.
Mm-hmm.
And that was 1966 that he went back in.
Mm-hmm.
And he stayed in for 17 years
okay.
after that and retired in 1983.
Okay, yeah.
And that's when we came back.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
Did you see a lot of changes between when you left and when you came back?
Yes.
Had Norway changed a lot?
Yeah, it's...
Was it for the better or the worse or just different?
Yeah, different.
Different.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And so... How do you, what, from when you graduated high school and now, what's the biggest change or biggest changes that you see in Norway from then to now, besides the horrible traffic?
You could go to Norway and buy most anything you needed.
Mm-hmm.
Long lease store. I mean, if you couldn't find it there, it didn't exist.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, you could find anything
yeah.
on Norway Main Street
mm-hmm.
that you needed.
Mm-hmm.
That's been... Then when there was several years, it felt like there was nothing on Norway Main Street anymore because of Walmart and others.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now it's feeling like there are specialty stores.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there's activity
yeah.
again. But for a long time, it felt like it
yeah.
was dead.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Although when we were growing up, it felt very, very busy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So,
mm-hmm.
to me,
yep.
that's the difference.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, what differences do you see between Norway then and Norway now? You think anything jump out at you, Amelia?
For one thing, our old school building is gone.
Mm-hmm.
The yellow building.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that we were brought up in. You know, we had relatives graduating from that.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. You know, so.
Yeah. Okay.
And
yeah.
I know we didn't, it seems though we knew everybody.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
we were growing up now, I don't know anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's probably my own fault.
Well, it is, it's a different world.
Yeah.
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 Okay. Now I'd like to move on to music.
Yes.
Please. And of course, your great-grandfather, Millie Dunham, is a legend, as is your great-grandmother, you know, Emma or
Emma.
Graham,
yeah.
you know, and they're both equally legends in Norway history. And, of course, you know, Melly was famous locally as a fiddler and a snowshoe maker, you know, famous for many years locally, but he really hit the big time when he went to play for Henry Ford in 1925.
Mm-hmm.
I would like one of you, or both of you, particularly if you don't agree, to trace your lineage back to Melly, please.
Okay. Well,
okay.
Our mom was the, let's see, she would have been the ninth child.
Eighth?
No, there was one child that died at first. There was a child that died, their first child died, and then they had nine.
Okay.
She told me that.
Okay.
So she was the second from the baby.
Mm-hmm.
There were...
because I know that, yes, I don't want to interrupt you, but I know that, her mother passed away the day after a child was born.
After Aunt Pearl was born.
Pearl, okay.
With the eclampsia.
Yes. And, which I'm going to get to separately about growing up without your mother.
Right.
And what your mother had to say about it. Yeah. But, okay, so Lona, your mother, was the next to the last child of, her parents were?
Were Ethna Pearl and Nathan.
Noble. And Ethna Pearl was the daughter of?
Melly and Graham.
Yes, thank you. Okay. So, again, speaking of music for just a second, so Cherry Noble Frechette was your, who played with Nellie Dunham's band or orchestra with Nate Noble, right?
Right.
Yes. Okay. Yep. And so she was your aunt.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Did Pearl, Ethna Pearl, Melly and Graham's daughter, was she musically inclined?
I don't know.
Okay.
She probably didn't have time with those kids.
Okay, well, exactly. With a zillion kids.
She had a baby.
That's a good point.
Every 2 years she had a baby.
Wow. Okay.
And she died, I think she was 38 when she died.
I think it was 39.
Yeah.
But not to argue with you, but
no,
I looked it up.
No, that's fine. 39. Yeah. She was an only child of Melly.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And Graham, who I call Graham. But,
right. Yeah.
And I think maybe that's why she wanted a big family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so when she and our grandfather, Nathan, got married, they lived in a smaller house down between where the present house is and the woods.
Okay.
They lived in a smaller house
okay.
and had some of the older children. And then as they had more children, they decided they needed a bigger house. And they ordered the house from Sears and Roebuck, and it came up on the train, the Victorian house.
Okay.
And all the stuff was brought to the site, and a team of carpenters from the neighborhood got together and built the house, put it together.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a Sears and Roebuck house. It was called the Glen Flora. That was the name of the whoever the architect was, and we have the plans for it.
Do you really?
That was retrieved
from
Dad and Mom's friend.
And so I'm jumping back for just a second.
Yeah.
And so this is the house that your father took the top story
right,
off
eventually
to turn it.
He
to,
did.
Yes, right.
As after the original, when the carpenters got it done,
and put together. Yes.
Then our mom's whole
yes.
family lived in it. And, but the upstairs, was never completely finished. As we were growing up, there were slats on the wall. They had not put the, they used to use slats and then they put
plaster. They plaster over the slat, yes.
Mm-hmm. And they hadn't done the plaster.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So as we were growing up, the upstairs was unfinished. But it had been used by my mom's family.
Mm-hmm.
But when we were growing up, only one room up over the kitchen was where we slept in the wintertime.
Yeah.
The rest of the house upstairs we could play in, and you could go way up into the attic, into the tower, and look all around. That was nice. And I remember playing up there a lot. But so when Mom and Dad obtained the house. The reason they obtained it was because my grandfather, Nathan, had lived there, but he was not able to pay the taxes.
Okay.
And the town was going to take the house.
Mm-hmm.
And Mom and Dad needed a house. So they needed $800.
Okay.
And they didn't have it, but our Uncle Allie did. He had the shop right on Whitman
Street.
Over here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he loaned them the $800.
Okay.
They paid off the town. And then they moved up to the house.
Okay.
And from that point on, our father worked on the house every day of his life.
Yes.
Practically.
Whistling Bill had a project.
Yeah,
yes.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Yes, what was I going to say?
Yeah,
that's all right. That's interesting that was a Sears house.
It was a Sears house, and the patent was the Glen Flora. Yes. Mm-hmm. If anyone mm-hmm. wants to look it up,
and I'm going to.
Yeah,
I'm going.
You can find out.
Yes,
what it originally.
So, your mother's musical talent.
Yes.
How did your Aunt Cherry? How did your mother? How did they learn music? Just because they're there?
Yeah,
pretty much.
Well, on the piano and the accordion. They had the piano.
Yes,
the accordions.
And your mother was known for the accordions, particularly, wasn't she?
As long as she could play it.
Yeah, and then she went with
when she got older, she couldn't
yes,
play it.
Yes, right.
Anymore.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a big, heavy, awkward thing.
It was like I know they learned chords.
Mm-hmm.
My mom could play, and Aunt Cherry did the same.
Yes.
They would play the chord, the full 8 keys.
Mm-hmm.
And then with the right hand, they would play the melody.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But.
I want that picture. I need that picture.
Can you send it?
Yes.
I don't know.
When we're done with this, don't let me forget. Maybe I can help you with that.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
You can send it.
Yes, because we need that picture for the collection.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, so they all learned to play. It wasn't just Mom could play, Pearl could play, Aaron could play, and all of them could play. But that's now I know how to do chords. I know how they did it, but I can't do it.
Okay, yeah. That's interesting.
They did. Now Aunt Cherry would do this, and then she'd go.
Yes. Okay.
And I used to watch her. I loved watching her.
Uh-huh. Oh, it's fascinating.
But that's how they learned, and mm-hmm. I think because their dad was musical.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that was what they did. They didn't have TV. They didn't have
play music.
You know, and mm-hmm. but they had music, and mm-hmm. we used to have what was called kitchen breakdowns.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what I mean by that?
No, I can guess.
When they would break down the kitchen,
yes,
basically,
okay.
And just have a lot of people do music.
Yeah,
you know,
kitchen breakdowns,
guitars,
bass
fiddles, mm-hmm.
And so what do you play?
Well, I can play the piano, and I was playing the violin.
Yes?
I took lessons.
You're speaking in past tense. You no longer play the violin?
Well, I went through a hard time back in 2010, and I kind of gave it up, and I really haven't played since then.
So did you play the violin, or did you play the fiddle?
Both.
Okay, good for you. Okay,
yeah,
good.
Because I would play some of Mellon's music.
Yes, okay, good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And I played the bongo drums. When they were playing.
That's all right. You got to have rhythm.
Dad had lots of
whims.
And the spoons.
Mm-hmm.
when my mom and dad were playing at the nursing homes and everything, my Uncle Eddie used to play the bass guitar with them.
Yeah.
But he passed away, and so I filled in for him. And the way I did it, my father kind of showed me how to play chords on the bass.
On the bass. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the way I knew what chord to put on was I was watching my mother play the piano, because I played the piano so I could see.
You recognize, I'm impressed. See. That's good. That works.
Yeah.
That works.
So I helped him out a little bit there.
All right.
Dad had a way of teaching us chords on the guitar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He would sit like this. And you would have your feet to his foot,
mm-hmm.
and he would put his foot on your foot.
Okay.
When he wanted you to trade,
I see.
You know this.
Now that's talent that he could keep playing and do that too.
Yeah,
I'd get it all messed up.
Well, he taught himself to play the guitar.
Did he? That was my next question: is how did he learn? Where did his talent come
from? He started by playing with an old cigar box. When he was young.
He made a guitar.
Yeah, he made a guitar out of it.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
But he came from a French family.
Okay, because I was going to say, did he grow up here?
Yeah, on Brown Street.
Okay, all right. Okay,
Their family was immigrated from Canada.
Yes, okay.
His grandfather was Dr. Prudent Bedard.
Okay.
And he had an office on Brown Street. And Dr. Prudent Bedad brought his family and his cousins to settle here in Norway.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Of the current generation of Lona's descendants, are there any musicians, active musicians?
After us?
After you, yes, after.
Her son, Jeff, composes and plays beautiful music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Especially him. I'm thinking Jeff.
Okay.
Very talented. He's made lots of CDs and things.
Okay.
And
yeah.
He has a natural.
Okay. See, it is at least partially genetic.
Oh, it is. I think Jeff inherited the.
Yeah.
It isn't the same type of music necessarily that they played, but if you listen to some of his CDs, it's relaxing and beautiful.
It's just lovely.
He does beautiful work.
Was Graham Dunham, was she a musician too?
Not that I know of.
Okay, I know she was a sportswoman.
Yes,
you know,
was.
A hunter, a fisher, and apparently quite competent at that.
Yeah.
But you never hear about her being involved in the music.
No.
I mean, maybe she just kept everybody in line or something like that, but
she
wasn't a musician.
But she was, I think after her daughter died, she was pretty much taken up with helping finish raising the family.
Well, because they must have had, after Ethna Pearl passed away, with all of these children, Melly and Graham must have assisted somehow.
Oh, they did. Mom said that because Melly and Graham's house was here and their house was here, and they spent time in both houses.
Uh-huh.
And Mom said, when we left one house, she said, we never said we were going home.
Uh-huh.
We always said, I'm going to the other house.
Exactly, right. I'm sure they were just back and forth all the time.
That's what they did.
Yes, okay. Yeah. Did your mother ever talk about losing her mother? Your mother was 2 or 3 years old.
She was only two.
Yeah.
She.
Did she ever talk about that? I don't mean to be sad, but.
She said that at 2 years old, and then there's a baby.
Yeah, see, because the baby would have never known her. So
known the baby.
Yeah.
And Mom doesn't remember her mom that much, other than the picture and the stories.
Yes.
But she did say that. When she and Aunt Pearl were 9 and 11, they were keeping house at the Victorian house for our grandfather.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The older siblings had gotten married and moved away.
Mm-hmm.
And so Aunt Pearl and Mom kept house.
Yep, okay.
And, you know, just they were only 11 and 9, but
they
did everything.
Yes, right.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
And Graham Dunham, she made a lot of things for them when they were little, and she taught them about, you know, the hunting and the wildlife things.
Yes, her life. The things that she was accomplished at.
Yeah.
Okay. So. Does anybody make snowshoes now, like Melly did?
Nobody.
No. Okay. Yeah. I don't know if that's a completely lost art now, of making snowshoes by hand. I understand that there are some people who repair them.
Yeah.
There's like 2 people in the state of Maine that can repair a traditional pair of snowshoes.
I don't know if you know if I got this story right, but my mom said that the patent that Melly used came from the Indians. Have you heard that?
Yes, that of the turned up toe.
Yes.
Which helps you go through deep snow a little easier.
Yeah.
And that was the indigenous people, the Native Americans, that was their. That was a style of their snowshoes.
I think that Melly had Indian in his background, too. And I'm not sure
I wouldn't be surprised.
Which tribe, but I think Dunhams probably
I wouldn't be surprised.
Did. Yeah.
Okay, because your mother, Lona, knew Melly and Graham. She knew them. Are there family stories about Melly and Graham that don't have anything to do with music or snowshoes? We all know stories about the music and snowshoes. I'm wondering if there's any other family stories.
When Melly and Graham came back from the vaudeville and the tours and everything, the kids all got a banana split. And Mom said that people made such a big deal out of it because they had never had banana splits. I remember.
Now that's a great story. Yeah. I like that.
I mean, they didn't know why everybody was making of them.
I'm sure. And I mean, and when Melanie Graham went away, to play for Henry Ford, and then we're on the vaudeville circuit, that was a big deal.
Yes.
I mean, every day there was news stories about what they did today, or the records that they made today, or the this or the that. So your Aunt Pearl, who played piano, did she do the touring also?
No, she was the baby.
Okay.
But you're talking Aunt Cherry, right?
I'm very sorry. Yes, I'm sorry. Thank you. Yes, Aunt Cherry. Yes, Aunt Cherry. Did she...
She went. I believe,
Okay.
I believe she went with them. There was her and our grandfather, Nate, and Mally, and Graham. And I think she went with them.
Okay.
I don't think she was married yet, right? She was probably just...
I think that'd be a tough life.
Yeah. In 25, our mom would have been 10. I don't know how old Aunt Cherry would have been.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, probably a teenager.
Yes, okay. Okay.
All
right.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all my questions. I've learned a lot. Thank you.
Well, that's good. But well, she tells more because she was still home while I was traveling around with the Marine Corps.
That's correct.
That's why she has so much knowledge.
And it's not a matter of, you know,
and
the experiences are different.
The other thing is where Mom and Dad lived in the old Victorian house, that was the big house.
Mm-hmm.
It was called the big house.
Yes.
And all the siblings that could come would come back to visit.
Mm-hmm.
And I would listen to the stories.
Yeah.
You know, when, like, Aunt Floretta would come back. Aunt Rose used to come.
Uh-huh.
She was always so pretty. Had her hair always done up.
Uh-huh.
She was beautiful.
She was a city woman.
No, she wasn't. But she was beautiful.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Allie would come.
Yep.
And Buddy would come. Mickey would come. And they'd always sit in the kitchen, and I would listen to the stories. But Aunt Pearl and Mom mostly would tell the stories.
Yeah,
So that's why I probably heard more.
Yeah.
You know, because I was the last one.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah. But we had a very good life growing up.
Mm-hmm. Do you agree?
Yes. I always am very thankful for our parents.
Yes,
they were really wonderful people.
Okay.
All
right.
Yeah.
Unless you have anything else that you can think of that you want to tell me, we can conclude the interview and you can relax.
The only other thing is our oldest sister, Mary. She is our half-sister.
Okay.
Our mother was married to her father.
To Mary's father?
Yeah, yes, Mary's father.
Yeah.
His name was Kenneth Brell.
Uh-huh.
And he died very young. He was over in the...
Sanatorium.
He had TB. And he died. She was only two when he died.
So your mother went through this kind of thing twice.
Yeah, she
with
did.
Her mother and then her first husband.
He died. Then Mom stayed with her mother-in-law, Grammy and Grandpa Burrell, and Mary. They all over in South Paris.
Yeah.
And she didn't get out much. She was only maybe 20, 21. And then my grandfather, Nate Noble, had his own orchestra.
Uh-huh.
And they played in the Grange Halls and and all. And my father was only 17. And he came to play with Nate Noble's Harmony Haymakers they were
so
called.
This is how Bill Bedard got his career going.
Yeah.
Yes, okay.
So he started playing with my Grandpa Nate.
Yeah.
And my Grandpa Nate knew my mom could play accordion and everything.
I can see where this is going.
Yeah.
Yes, okay.
So he went over to her, and I think he was sick and tired of her sitting home all the time.
Yes.
And he said, I've got a young man over there that plays something about an egg. He said his as smooth as an egg comes out of a shell. There was some special thing that Mom told me that he said Dad could play. So she came over and she played in the orchestra, and pretty soon Mom and Dad met.
And that's and the rest is history, as they say.
But it was through music and through our grandfather.
Yes, exactly. And I mean, I do think it is remarkable how long your parents' musical career was. I mean, it's one thing to dabble in the ukulele. But I mean, they were serious musicians.
Well, they kept
and performers.
Yeah, they played around at dances. Yes.
They were still doing it when they were in their 80s.
Playing. I'm sorry, I missed it.
Yeah, and because we heard practice all the time at home. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Dad would have a big sheet and all the songs, the
key
it was in.
Yes, okay. Yes, yep.
And he would kind of emcee it. And
right,
talk
and right. So he helped keep it organized and
he had the radio program over at KDQ.
Yep.
And they had the Melody Mountaineers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They did that every Saturday night for quite a few
years.
Played
live.
Yeah, they did. They did.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
it's just wonderful. it is. And I don't like to say things like it's something that has passed and will never come back. You can't really say that.
Yeah.
But it's something that we've lost.
Yeah.
That these type of things don't happen anymore.
Yeah.
Or hardly ever. And
But that's how they Mom said that they never, she and Dad didn't fight over much, but she said if we had an argument, it was over music.
That's a good story. And I think that's a great way to end this interview.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, thank you.
Oh,
thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.